Hey, don't look now, but Cam Coleman is starting to take over.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fly.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's episode 27 of the Top Button Podcast. We're buttoned up, we're flattened up, and we're ready to go. I'm your host, Charlie Five, and we're going to get after it today. We're going to talk about Cam Coleman. Why not? We love him. Going to talk about him. A big-time scrimmage this weekend, and then dive into the NCAA tournament that kicks off today. March Madness begins. But before we get started, we got to give a shout-out to our boy Ford Stokes at Active Wealth Management. You can check him out at activewealth.com or annuity360.net. Go to annuity360.net, and you can request an autographed book with a lot of guidelines and advice and things like that that you'll learn a ton about on annuities and different ways to protect your wealth. I know Ford's fired up about this weekend. I know he's fired up about spring football and notes and things like that. So give him a shout. Show him some love, and maybe you can have a great conversation about him helping you protect your wealth and getting you where you want to be, as well as you can bug out together. So, and we love that. Any chance we get, we love to do that. So show him some love. Ford Stokes, Active Wealth Management, and activewealth.com. Sorry, got hung up a little bit there, but I think the big talk so far, You can break down spring in a thousand different ways. But the thing that's sort of starting to jump out to me is that Cam Coleman, our five-star, number six overall player, depending on what recruiting site you look at, number six overall player in the country, is slowly starting to take over as at that wide receiver position. When a freshman comes in, regardless of their ranking, regardless of how highly they were recruited, the different offers and things like that, the first thing you always have to look at is physically, are they going to be able to perform immediately? Or how long is it going to take for them to be able to reshape their body, get I guess, acclimated to being able to perform at the highest level of football in the Southeastern Conference? Cam Coleman walks in, you know, into Auburn. He comes to Auburn at 6'3", touching right at 190. Essentially, I mean, he could put on a little bit more weight, but he doesn't necessarily have to. I mean, that is physically, that's kind of where you want to be at wide receiver, especially the outside wide receiver, still be able to maintain your speed, your agility, things of that nature. I could see him getting closer to 200 pounds, but my goodness, physically, you've seen the videos, you've seen the pictures. Physically, he came ready-made, ready to go. And it's a good 190 pounds. It's not like it's – I mean, it's a good 190 pounds. It's a good physically fit, ready to go, 190 pounds at 6'3". And he has the speed, the agility, everything you've seen on film. I mean, he came in with it. He came in ready to go. He's already played at a very high level in high school football. And so, again, the first thing you're worried about when a freshman comes in is physically, can they match up? Physically, are they ready right now to be able to perform? Or do you need time to sort of reshape your body, get acclimated, you know, get ready to go? He came in guns a-blazing, ready to go. The second thing you're starting to look at is – where they're repping, I guess, as far as it relates to them moving up and being ready to sort of challenge for a starting position as a true freshman. Who are they repping with? When do they go as far as the reps are concerned? Are they at the top? Are they right there at the second level? Like, where are they repping and who's throwing them the ball? Started off naturally, you expect Cam to be working with a second team because you got some older guys there. You never really expected him to just start day one catching passes from Thorne going first in the drills, it takes a little bit of time. But we've had roughly halfway through spring, and you're starting to see reports of Cam Coleman catching passes from Peyton Thorne, catching touchdown passes from Peyton Thorne. So he's slowly, I mean, I say slowly, heck, it's all halfway through spring. I mean, he's only been here a few months, and he's already working his way up to those first team reps, getting those first team reps. And that's huge. That's huge. That was what you hoped you started to hear maybe in fall camp. You know, maybe in fall camp, after you've had a summer to work out, do your little throwing sessions with the different wide receivers and things like that, and the quarterbacks, and just continue to learn and continue to learn. And then eventually, you know, as fall, you know, fall camp kicks off and you work towards the end, you hope that they're getting ready then. But now you're already right at halfway through spring in March. I mean, we're still months away from kickoff of the 2024 season, and Cam Coleman's already starting to get first-team reps. They just had some 11-on-11 work. I think there was reports from Justin Hokanson on three, catching two touchdown passes from Peyton Thorne. Peyton Thorne's the starting quarterback right now. You're catching touchdown passes from Peyton Thorne. That's a big deal. So him already being able to get in those first-team reps this early, that is absolutely massive, because, I mean, essentially, if you really think about it, if you're already getting first-team reps now you're only the rest of the time that we have for the rest of the spring, and then fall camp, you should be there as well. So it's that much longer that you have building chemistry, building that connection that you have with the quarterback, with the other wide receivers, with the offense in general, and he's already getting those reps. He's already getting some of those first-team reps. Maybe not 100%, but starting to get first-team reps, that is absolutely massive for a true freshman to come in. Not a typical true freshman that comes in the summer, gets a whole summer of workouts, and then whatever. This is a true freshman that should still be in high school, that's come in, and now he's already getting first-team reps. I just think that's absolutely massive. And then lastly, can they grasp the playbook, the intricacies of the playbook and things like that? Now, one advantage Cam has in this whole thing with all the other guys is we learned from Peyton Thorne, this was a whole new offense, a whole new set of terminology. The routes are called different things. The protections are called different things. The plays are called different things. So essentially, everybody's starting over. So there was no real, I guess, advantage from the playbook standpoint that anybody had in the wide receiver room here. So that was extremely beneficial for Cam when he enrolled, because, hey, I'm learning the playbook just like these guys are. You know, from day one, we're all learning at the same starting point. But still, there's little intricacies and things like that, how to, you know, run routes at this level and create separation and things like that, that once you can marry the playbook and those things together, you can kind of see guys sort of take the next step. And I think that's what you're starting to see with Cam too. We heard that, you know, he was having, you know, possibly having some struggles or maybe early on with learning the routes, learning how to run the routes, things like that, the way that Hugh and Marcus want it to be executed. And then all of a sudden, maybe it just clicked. And now he's starting to sort of feel comfortable already, feel like, I'm not running and thinking, I'm just running and doing, because I'm comfortable with what I have to do. I understand my responsibility, and it's not thinking, it's just reacting. If that makes sense. You're not running. You know what I mean? Like if you're doing anything and you have to think about it while you're doing it, it's going to slow you down. It's going to, create a little bit of a hurdle, but you get what I'm saying. Anytime you're thinking instead of just doing, it's going to slow you down. And I think he's getting from the things that I've heard, things that I've read, those little, it's sort of, the switch is sort of flipped. I get it now. And in turn, we're seeing first team reps. We're seeing him, reports of him catch touchdowns and things of that nature. And leading into the next topic, I'm very anxious to see what is said after this weekend, as there's a huge scrimmage, a huge scrimmage, team scrimmage that'll be happening on Saturday. And this is big for him. This is a big step for him, but it's not just a big step for him. It's a big step for everyone. I mean, this is the midway point of spring. This is a good time to sort of take the first half of what you've learned, and then let's go put us in a game scenario and duke it out and see what we got. You really will really get a good idea from the reports and things. Like, there's going to be people there that are going to share information. And then there's going to be some, I'm sure there's going to be some interview quotes and things like that, and little notes and nuggets that we get from the coaches. But the spring, the scrimmage at the middle point of spring is incredibly important, because it gives you a chance to sort of evaluate the basically the beginning first half is just install, install, teaching, teaching, install, install, teaching, teaching, and it's spread out so far. It's just like a midterm exam. Now we get to see basically from a numerous aspects how we did that first half, from a personnel standpoint, from a coaching standpoint. Are they retaining the information? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing to get these guys ready? You get to see so many things from that mid-spring scrimmage that helps you clean things up. And then the last half should be essentially perfecting what you've installed, what you sort of, you know, got going the first half. That spring scrimmage is big. So what do we want to see out of the spring scrimmage? I mean, where do I start? I think the biggest thing I think everybody wants to see, there hasn't really been a ton, just a big swath of information of how the quarterback, I don't want to call it necessarily a battle, but a quarterback situation in general is going. You hear that Peyton Thorne is the most consistent. That's typically the message that you hear. But you also hear that, you know, Hank Brown's doing some great things, that Walker White is doing some great things. Maybe he's still, you know, a little bit away from being able to challenge for the starting position. But I think seeing real 11, not necessarily seeing, but us seeing, but the coaches seeing real 11-on-11 action. I know it's not going to be full contact on the quarterbacks, but seeing that 11-on-11 action, maybe getting some guys reps that typically don't get those reps in that 11-on-11 type stuff, you really start to see how this team is going to shape up, and you really get a good idea of where you are from a quarterback standpoint. And I'm being honest, it could play a big role moving forward in what we do as far as quarterback in the spring portal. If we look to possibly pursue one in the spring or not, or if we just roll with what we got, this scrimmage is very, very important towards that fact. If we go out and we show inconsistencies and we show the inability to make plays and move the ball, it's going to start spinning the wheels on, hey, what are we, you know, is this something that's correctable, or is this something where we may have to pursue someone else in the portal? I think you learn a lot of those things. You're going to learn a lot of those things on Saturday. It may not be the finality of what you learn. There may be, you got way more time. I mean, you got 7 or 8 more practices, and you got including A-Day. Which A-Day is typically just a celebration and for the fans, so it's not like you just glean a ton from it. As a matter of fact, I feel like the things you learn from A-Day typically rarely ever transfer to the season. It seems like the kiss of death seems to be if you become the MVP on one side of the ball or the other during A-Day, because for whatever reason, those guys, I can name a million guys that it seems like they go off on A-Day and then just don't end up translating it to the fall. Wide receivers, we've already talked about Cam Coleman. Look, This is a consistent theme now for a couple of years, but Camden Brown's name always comes up during spring practice and fall camp. I don't know what happens during the season, but his name always comes up during these times, and it's coming up now, and it's coming up from Cam Coleman, who talks about the guys that he respects the most. You know, it's Camden Brown, Coy Moore. You hear reports of him, you know, making big plays, catching passes over some of our top defensive backs. He's always physically, you feel like he's that right there. If he can flip the switch, and that could be sort of a 1-2 punch with Cam Coleman and then Camden Brown, like, holy cow. But we've heard this for a couple of different years now. Let's see how it translates. So I think this scrimmage is big. The scrimmage is big for him. You know, I got these young guns, these young guys that are coming in, possibly looking at taking my spot or at least taking some of my snaps, taking some of my reps. I've done pretty well in practice so far. I need to go show it in a scrimmage setting. I need to go out here and ball out. I need to go out here and show them that I'm not just a practice warrior. I can turn it on in a game scenario. I'm able to run my routes at the correct depth. I'm able to go attack the ball in the air, you know, have show some ball skills in a game scenario. And I don't get the, you know, sort of engulfed by the moment. I think it's huge. The wide receiver rotations and things like that in general, and what we glean from, you know, what we glean from that Saturday, I think is very important. It's what I'm looking forward to. I've heard nothing but good things. This offensive line, I really feel like could possibly be one of the better offensive lines from in a quite a while, maybe all the way back to maybe like a 2017. Like they are, I'm hearing so many good things about Percy Lewis and what he's allowed this offensive line to be able to do in shape and form, and then Xavier Miller as well. I'm very curious to see the reports you get, how we get pushed. Can we push the pile? Can we get push and get the ball moving on the ground because we got a stable of running backs? One little thing you hear a lot is we're working a lot on throwing the ball to the running backs out of the backfield. So pass blocking and things like that, just tons. I'm so excited to hear how this offensive line competes and is able to produce, especially in the ground game, because that's where our strength's obviously going to be, at least based off of what we've already seen last year. You feel like going into this year, your offensive line and your running backs are going to be your strength. It could be, you know, who knows, the new offense, everybody sort of being united and having the same vision may make the wide receiver and quarterback deal start clicking a little bit better. But right now, this offensive line is, you just continue to hear nothing but great things about how they're performing, especially in the run game. And then, you know, the success that they're having, and that's got to excite you because, man, we've just been snake bit a little bit at offensive line. And here's another thing about the offensive line you're hearing: depth. It's not one of those things where obviously it's ideal that you don't lose anybody. But with guys like Tyler Johnston, who's getting some first team reps at left and right tackle, you know, sort of, he's playing that good that he's able to fit in on both sides, be able to fill in. Now, it's not like it's a threat for him to overtake anything, but having that guy there that could step in and with an injury, and then you got a lot of different inside guys that could play different positions. It's not so much that if you have that one injury, you feel like your whole line is shot anymore. You got options. You got a little bit of depth. So it's not just the front five. It's not just the first five. You're feeling really good about the depth along the offensive line with the different things you're hearing. And I think that's big for the scrimmage, not only the first team guys to continue to gel, be able to knock people off the ball, but also get the second team guys, the depth that you've built so quickly, get those guys some game type reps so they can be ready to step in. Because look, offensive line is a meat grinder, man. That's the toll that they take is unreal, and it just seems like you're always going to have somebody that's either got a nagging injury or gets injured And there's always rotation. I feel like it's rare that you start the year with an offensive line and finish the year with the same offensive line. So the ability to have a good unit and then have some solid options at, for depth wise, you got to feel good. That's what you got to have. You got to see these dudes get those reps in the spring scrimmages and kind of see where you're at and continue to build that chemistry. So offensive line's another one. And then the big one, I want to hear what this offense looks like. We keep hearing that it's a completely different offense. It's going to be heavy on like the RPO, Q wants it to be more 50-50, a little bit closer to 50-50 than it was. It was super run heavy last year. Throwing the ball to the running back side of the backfield, you know, a lot of stuff I want to see. Obviously, we can't see, but at least hear and get an image of what this offense is going to look like, how different it really is. One thing Hugh said in one of his pressers that I thought the recent pressers that I thought was interesting, he said, you know, if you're dropping back to pass a lot, that's an issue. So that signals to me it's going to be a lot of getting the ball out quick, whether it's to the running backs, whether it's the RPO stuff, the quick slants. We're not just going to be a drop back play action team where it's, you know, three to or five step drops. You know, you got to have 2 seconds of, you know, 2 seconds of, protection and then, you know, whatever, picking the ball off, throwing the ball or picking the defense apart and then throwing the ball down the field. It seems like it's going to be a lot quicker, quicker hitting stuff. And I'm anxious to at least hear what that looks like in a game situation and then how that plays out. So you can kind of get an image of what this offense is going to look like moving forward. So big time, the mid spring scrimmage is very, very important. Usually, I can't remember if this is typically around the time where they have the alumni scrimmage, where a lot of the old players come back. That may be, it could be this weekend, but also if you think about it, this weekend is, obviously is the NCAA tournament. So you wonder if a lot of, you know, alumni and things like that are going to Spokane again. I'm not saying Spokane, Washington. But then next week, I believe, is Easter, and then you have the A Day. So they may not do it on an Easter weekend. So this weekend could be the alumni scrimmage. So there'll be a lot of eyes on what's going on. There'll be a lot of eyes on what's going on at that scrimmage. So you'll hear a ton, I'm sure, about how everybody performs. And it's very important. You're doing it in front of – if it is the alumni scrimmage, you're doing it in front of a lot of people. So you obviously want to put on a good product. You want to put on a good product. It'll be a big visit weekend. We're going to have a bunch of, you know, recruiting visit weekends. You want to put on a good product before, you know, to them and things like that. So, again, the mid-spring scrimmage is very important. And I can't wait to hear the reports and things like that because we'll talk about it, obviously, on Tuesday. All right, the March Madness begins, but before we talk about it, we got to give some love to plainscoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON to take 10% off your next order. Guys, stop doing it. Stop buying the big cans with the fresh seal. Like, stop popping the fresh seal. Like, just go ahead and order it fresh. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have to vacuum seal this coffee. You don't have to vacuum seal this coffee from plainscoffee.com to keep it fresh because it's freshly ground days before it ships to you. I mean, it just makes sense. It just comes straight to your house. The biggest hurdle you got to be is, you know, do you have to worry about the postal service not being able to contain themselves and taking your coffee because the aroma is going to be so incredible in their delivery vehicle. That's your biggest hurdle. That's going to be your biggest hurdle because it's going to show up at your front door. It's going to be fresh. It's going to be great. And you're going to love it. So check them out, plainscoffee.com. There's got the level of darkness roast for everybody. And then if you don't like coffee, they got teas as well. So check them out, plainscoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON for 10% off. The madness begins today. Not for Auburn, but the NCAA tournament kicks off today. There's some big, obviously, there's going to be big matchups all day long. I know we're sitting on pins and needles, ready for Auburn's tournament to get kicked off. And obviously everybody's excited, but you'll get to see Tennessee play today. You'll get to see Mississippi State play pretty early. A lot of SEC flavor, South Carolina, Kentucky plays today. So essentially, half of the SEC teams will get into action, get that thing going today. I hope you got your viewing schedule figured out, how you're going to knock that out. And, you know, if you're at work, you're going to have your little pop-up going on your computer screen. You're going to be watching YouTube TV on your phone. Regardless, the madness begins today. And I want to take 1 second and just think about how good, how amazing it feels. This may be, this may be sort of loserish or you know, maybe overbooging or something like that or whatever, but just imagine how good it feels to be a part of the conversation. Where we've come from, where we are, you know, March Madness was just a bracket that we used to fill out. You know, it's just a time to go fill out a bracket. Now it's a time that we get to celebrate and we got a chance to make a run. We got a chance to make something happen. It makes the day, the Thursday that everything kicks off, feel so much special. Gives you the butterflies in your stomach because you know you're about to go, you're about to see your Auburn Tigers be able to go try to start making a run. And I think they have a very, very good opportunity to do so, especially on the first weekend. But again, everything kicks off today. We're taking on Yale tomorrow. Auburn's a 12.5 point favorite. That usually equals a butt whipping. So again, it's all the way across the country, but Yale has to go all the way across the country as well. Yale has a pretty efficient big guy, which is something I always really kind of look at as far as matchups go. Like, how do they match up? How are they going to match up with somebody like somebody like Broome? How is their big guy going to match up with Broome? And they do have a 7-footer, Danny Wolf, who, 14 points, almost averages a double-double, shoots pretty good from the field, shoots pretty good from three. But Broome is an unbelievable defender, and I don't think this guy will have faced anybody of Jani Broome's caliber inside. And then you've seen big guy after big guy that just cannot stop Jani. Like, he's going to score 15, 16 points on you minimum, and there's nothing you can do about it. He's that good. He's that good skill-wise. He's not the most overly athletic guy, but he knows how to use his body and make it happen. So, you know, that'll be an interesting matchup. I just feel like Broome's going to completely outclass their big guy inside, Danny Wolf. So really guards and big guys are really all I really care about, because if they have, it seems like the times we've struggled with teams, it's been they have really good big guys or really good, point guards, things like that, guys that can run, guys that can shoot, and guys that can defend and frustrate our guards. So one key metric with Yale that I think could I hope it doesn't come into play, but it's something I'm watching, as they're a very average to below average free throw shooting team. So if for somehow we get into a scenario where they're having to foul us late, or we're having to foul them late, or just in general, because it seems like how games are refereed today, that if you breathe on somebody, it's fouls. And we always seem to be getting into the bonus early in halves and things like that. And other teams that we play get into bonus early. That could be a benefit, because when it's the one-on-one scenario and you got a team that's shoots poorly from the line or are extremely below average, how that could possibly benefit Auburn. You miss the front end of a one-on-one, it's just like a turnover. So if you get into a scenario where things get tight, you want to create a possession, that's something that can come into play that you got to be mindful of. Yale, very, very poor free throw shooting team. So I think we're going to have a pretty good game. I think we're going to be able to handle them pretty well. I just don't think they're going to be able to match up with Auburn athletically. I don't think they've really played anybody. Just looking at their schedule, I don't think they've really played anybody that matches the intensity that Auburn's going to bring on the defensive side. I don't see it. I don't see how they're going to be able to match Auburn physically. They did play Kansas relatively tight, but Kansas has been all over the place. Kansas has been all over the place this year, but they did get blown out. They did lose by 15 points. So I could easily see, you know, that type of scenario playing out again. You beat them, you play, obviously, you would play the winner of San Diego State and UAB. And I honestly don't know who that's going to be. UAB's hot right now. Andy Kennedy has those guys playing really well. So, you know, that could be an intriguing matchup. You know, that could be an intriguing matchup. Playing UAB, it does seem like we play we have a familiarity with UAB. You always seem to play them in those, like, super secret scrimmages that – those super secret scrimmages that only, you know, the insiders hear about, or only people that are there get notes about and things of that nature. But, you know, we have a familiarity. Sorry if you can hear that. The ads keep popping up on my screen. San Diego State is a 7.5-point favorite. Again, a lot of people say that's a very overseeded team. I really love our walk. I really love our draw to the Sweet 16. And then you draw UConn. And a listener made a very good point in the comments. And I'm sorry, forgive me for forgetting your name. But the good thing about playing UConn when you play them is that you have a full, essentially, week to recover and game plan. Now, they do too. But in general, I love Bruce Pearl, Stephen Pearl. I love those guys when they're able to game plan for a team for a week. You saw it when we took, we had a week off in the middle of the season. And I think wasn't a huge matchup, but you kind of came off of a loss. I believe it was possibly the loss to Kentucky. You have a week off, and I think you went to Georgia. Forgive me if I'm getting that mixed up, but you're sort of worried. You're sort of in that scenario where you're like, man, I feel good, but I just don't 100% know. They had a full week to game plan for it. And then you go in there, and I think we grabbed a big win. Yeah, you lose to Kentucky, and that was what it was. You lose to Kentucky, you have a week off, and you go to Georgia, and you beat them by 20. I know it's Georgia, but still, I love the idea that Auburn's got a week to recover and then sort of game plan and get ready for that UConn game that you would play either that Thursday or Friday, that next Thursday or Friday. So great point, one that I haven't necessarily thought of. But, yeah, so you get UConn on a full week of rest and a full week to game plan. So that's an ideal scenario. If you got to play them, it'd be much better to play them then versus if you win the Sweet 16, then you got to turn around in 2 days. I'm sorry, not even in 2 days. It'd be less than 48 hours and play UConn in that type of scenario where you don't have, you know, what if you get somebody banged up? What if you got a little bit of, you know, fatigue setting in and you got to play one of the best teams in the country? Granted, they have the same advantage. But again, I take Bruce Pearl over anybody. I take Bruce Pearl and this team over just about anybody, especially with a week to game plan. So it's a lot of fun. Golly, it's great. I wish I could just take, you know, the whole weekend off. The whole Thursday, Friday off for the next 3 or 4 weeks and just sit and watch basketball. It's incredible, and it feels so good to be a part of it. You know, that one thing we've only really had like one deep run, but we're in it every single year. Every single year we're in it. We typically win a game, and this team's primed to make a run, and it just feels so good to be there. So I'm so thankful for, obviously, Bruce Pearl and what he's done and how he's been able to, you know, build this program to where it is. Man, it just feels good to be a part of it. It just feels so good to be a part of March Madness. And, you know, we already have sort of gotten a taste of the madness with the winning the SEC tournament and just dominating everybody on the way, and I'm hoping – at least the early part of this is a very similar flavor. Maybe we got to get our legs under us a little bit, and we can hopefully pull away from Yale, possibly hopefully we pull away from early, but if it takes a little while to get adjusted to the new arena and the travel and all that good stuff, we can hammer them in the second half, typically like we do when the depth takes over. So, guys, have a great weekend. Have an absolute awesome weekend. Enjoy some basketball. And then be on the lookout for notes and secrets and nuggets that you hear from the scrimmage, because we're going to talk about the scrimmage on Tuesday. And then, obviously, the results from the weekend in basketball. Awesome time of year. The weather's amazing. I hope you guys have a great weekend and you enjoy it. And I really appreciate you listening. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. Subscribe and like this video. It helps with the algorithms and all the good stuff. Leave comments. I respond to every comment. So if you want to have a conversation, you got a question, shoot it in the comments. I'll fire back to you. And we'll just keep this thing going. Again, I really appreciate all the listens. It makes this thing a whole lot more fun. And we'll just kind of keep it going. We'll keep you in the loop. So y'all enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the basketball. Enjoy the scrimmage. If you get to see it, that'd be awesome. Hit me up. Let me know what you think. And if you don't, we'll try to keep you in the loop on all the developments. So I appreciate it. Y'all have a great weekend. This is episode 27 of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.